I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
And the way that we create urgency on the issue of climate is when we have people all across the world in the streets, showing up, demanding change, and demanding a cessation of what is killing us. We have to send the message that some of us are going to be living on this planet 30, 40, 50 years from now, and we will not take no for an answer.
As many as 75,000 people rallied near the United Nations in New York City Sunday at a march to end fossil fuels. The rally came as world leaders begin to arrive here for the United Nations General Assembly. We'll hear from Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, former Irish President Mary Robinson, and Ugandan climate activist Vanessa Nakate.
We will not stand by and let our communities to be destroyed. We will not stand by and let people's lives get lost as climate disasters become worse. Because we refuse to accept that anymore.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The World Health Organization and aid groups have called on Libya's government to stop burying flood victims in mass graves a week after unprecedented rainfall caused a pair of dams to collapse, devastating the eastern coastal city of Derna. The UN reports about 4,000 people were killed by the floods, with more than 9,000 people still missing. The toll is down from the UN's previous report of more than 11,000 deaths. More than 30,000 survivors have been rendered homeless and are in immediate need of clean water, food and shelter. Aid workers continue to collect the bodies of the dead.
As a Libyan, when I pull out bodies, I swear, I cry, I can't handle it. But it is God's will, so you have to hold up and pull out the body. There was a body that was divided in two parts right before us. There's nothing to do but to pull out the body. What can you do?
As the climate catastrophe devastates the planet, hundreds of thousands of protesters around the globe took to the streets over the weekend, calling for an end to the burning of fossil fuels. Climate actions took place in the Philippines, India, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Sweden, Germany, the United States, and across dozens of other countries and cities worldwide. Here in New York, an estimated 75,000 protesters joined a massive march Sunday following days of peaceful actions targeting banks and other institutions involved with the fossil fuel industry. It was the largest rally New York has seen in years. Ahead of the march, at least 16 climate activists were arrested Friday after they occupied and shut down the Museum of Modern Art for more than 5 hours over its ties to fossil fuel billionaire Henry Kravis, co-founder of the Wall Street investment firm KKR. Meanwhile, in Germany, thousands of protesters gathered in Berlin's Brandenburg Gate, spraying orange paint on its columns. Several protesters were arrested. This is an activist as they were taken into police custody.
The government has to take measures now to achieve climate neutrality by 2030. It can't be that our last basic livelihoods are being destroyed. The Brandenburg Gate stands for a political turning point like no other landmark. And we need exactly this turning point again today. The chancellor continues to pour oil on the fire. It can't just be that basic livelihoods of millions, no, billions of people are being put on the line. Science and scientists are clear that we need to exit the use of fossil fuels by 2030.
The protests kicked off a week of mobilizations as world leaders will convene at the United Nations General Assembly starting today, where UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is hosting a special climate summit Wednesday, which U.S. President Biden does not plan to attend. After headlines, we'll spend the rest of the hour hearing voices from Sunday's march to end fossil fuels outside of the United Nations. A United Auto Workers strike targeting the big three automakers has entered its fourth day. About 12,700 workers walked off the job Friday, but the UAW's warned the strike could expand in scope. On Sunday, talks resumed between the UAW and representatives of General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis. Over the weekend, Stellantis, which is the parent company of Chrysler, offered workers a 21% pay hike, but UAW President Sean Fain rejected the offer. He appeared on CBS Face the Nation Sunday.
We've asked for 40% pay increases, and the reason we asked for 40% pay increases is because in the last 4 years alone, the CEO pay went up 40%. They're already millionaires. Right. You know, it's shameful that one of the leaders of the corporations sitting in his second home in Acapulco while we're bargaining, rather than being at the bargaining table. And so, you know, our demands are just. We're asking for our fair share in this economy and the fruits of our labor.
So 21% is a no-go for you.
It's definitely a no-go, and we've made that very clear to the companies.
On Friday, independent Senator Bernie Sanders traveled to Detroit to speak at a UAW rally where he decried corporate greed.
And let me thank the UAW for standing up not only for your own members, but for the working class of this country. The fight you are waging here is not just about decent wages and working conditions and pensions in the automobile industry. It is a fight to take on corporate greed and tell the people on top this country belongs to all of us, not just a few.
Ukraine's military says it seized control of a village near the eastern city of Bakhmut that's been the site of intense battles for weeks. It's the second Russian-occupied village recaptured by Ukraine in recent days and comes ahead of a visit by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to the United States this week. He'll address the United Nations General Assembly in person for the first time since Russia's invasion. He'll then travel from New York to Washington, D.C. for talks with President Biden and congressional leaders ahead of an address of a joint session of Congress. In August, President Biden asked Congress for an additional $13 billion in military aid to Ukraine, an additional $8 billion in humanitarian assistance. The military leaders in Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso have signed a mutual defense pact where they agree to help each other militarily against outside aggression and against internal rebellions. The three nations are all former French colonies, which experienced military coups in recent years. This is Mali's Foreign Affairs Minister, Abdoulaye Diop.
Any attack on the sovereignty and territorial integrity of one or more of the contracting parties will be considered as an aggression against the other parties and will entail a duty of assistance and relief on the part of all parties.
This comes as tension is escalating between France and Niger's new military leaders. On Saturday, thousands of protesters rallied outside a French military base in Niger after French President Emmanuel Macron claimed France's ambassador is being held hostage at the French embassy. Protesters called on French troops to leave Niger.
We know that Emmanuel Macron is looking for a war pretext to invade our country. But Emmanuel Macron must understand that the people of Niger are determined. Emmanuel Macron must understand that we have understood their game and we are not going to fall into their trap.
In Sudan, a landmark office tower in the capital Khartoum caught fire and burned for hours Sunday amid fierce fighting between Sudan's army and the rival paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. The fire ravaged the 18-story Greater Nile Petroleum Company tower. Several government buildings also caught fire as paramilitaries launched attacks on positions controlled by the army. Residents report it was some of the worst fighting since violence between the factions of the military junta erupted on April 15th. Medical authorities report all the main hospitals in Khartoum and in Sudan's western Darfur region were out of service on Sunday. Iranian authorities are expected to release five U.S. citizens in their custody today after the Biden administration unfroze $6 billion of Iranian oil revenue. The funds will be used for medicine, food and other humanitarian goods. Washington's also freeing five Iranians imprisoned in the U.S. as part of the deal, which was brokered by Qatar. In more news from Iran, authorities detained the father of Mahsa Amini on Saturday. on the first anniversary of her death in the custody of Iranian so-called morality police. Iranian security forces surrounded the family's home in the city of Saqqez ahead of the anniversary and warned Amjad Amini against commemorating his daughter's death. Mahsa Amini was a 22-year-old Kurdish-Iranian woman. She was killed a year ago after she was arrested for allegedly failing to wear her headscarf properly. Her death sparked historic nationwide protests across Iran for months. Over 500 protesters, including dozens of children, were killed, while thousands of others were arrested as the Iranian government cracked down on the mobilizations. At least seven people have been executed for their involvement in the protests. A court in Egypt has sentenced one of the nation's best-known journalists and political activists to 6 months in prison in a case that's drawn condemnation from human rights groups. 64-year-old Hisham Qassem was convicted on what supporters say are trumped-up charges of slander, defamation and verbal assault on a police officer. Qassem is a co-founder of the Free Current movement of liberal political parties in Egypt and is seen as a possible challenger to President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in the upcoming 2024 election. His arrest came after he criticized a member of Egypt's Presidential Pardon Committee for failing to grant clemency to Egypt's thousands of political prisoners. In Britain, the comedian, actor, and podcaster Russell Brand is facing multiple investigations after five women accused him of rape, sexual assault, and emotional abuse. The abuse occurred between 2006 and 2013 at the peak of Brand's career. This according to a joint expose by three British media outlets, The Times of London, The Sunday Times, and Channel 4 Dispatches. One woman said she entered into an abusive relationship with Brand when she was just 16 years old. The BBC and Channel 4 have both launched investigations into Brand, who worked at the networks at the time. Brand has denied the allegations. A statement from his lawyer said Brand's being targeted because he's now a, quote, alternative media broadcaster competing with mainstream media, unquote. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has removed Rolling Stone magazine co-founder Jan Wenner from its board of directors after Wenner claimed blacks and women, including Marvin Gaye and Joni Mitchell, were not articulate enough to be featured in his new book titled The Masters, in which he profiles seven rock musicians, all white men. Wenner made the comment in an interview with The New York Times.
It's not that they're not creative geniuses. It's not that they're inarticulate, although you go have a deep conversation with Grace Slick or Janice, please be my guest, or Cass Elliott, wonderful person. You know, Joni was not a philosopher of rock and roll. She didn't, in my mind, meet that test, not by her work, not by other interviews she did. Maybe Marvin Gaye. I could call Curtis Mayfield, or, I mean, they just didn't articulate at that level.
Jan Wenner later apologized for his remarks. He's faced criticism for decades over how Rolling Stone wrote about black and women musicians. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. Coming up, voices from the march to end fossil fuels in New York City. Stay with us.
We are the movement, liberation moving for every single human. We have come to win.
Sing that for all our children. Come on.
We are the movement, liberation moving for every single human. We have come to win.
Sing that for the land.
We are the movement, liberation moving for every single human. We have come.
Sing that with all your love. Let me hear y'all.
We are the movement.
The Peace Poets performing their new song, The End of Fossil Fuels, at Sunday's March to End Fossil Fuels. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Under a bright blue sky here in New York City, organizers estimate some 75,000 people filled the streets of Midtown Manhattan Sunday in order to send a clear message to the world, and especially to U.S. President Joe Biden. end fossil fuels. It was the largest U.S. climate mobilization in years. Some 700 grassroots groups united to call on Biden to declare a climate emergency, stop all federal approvals for new fossil fuel projects, phase out production of fossil fuels on federal public lands, and build a new clean energy future. The massive protest is part of more than 200 actions around the world leading up to the first ever United Nations Climate Ambition Summit Wednesday, where countries will present fossil fuel phase-out plans and commit to no new fossil fuel production. The summit takes place during the UN General Assembly, where Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is set to address the UN Tuesday, as well as President Biden. Several other world leaders are skipping this year's summit, including those from four of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, China, Russia, France, and Britain. Sunday's march kicked off with a press conference and rally with activists from communities impacted by the fossil fuel industry and lawmakers. This is Democratic Congressmember Jamal Bowman of New York.
This is not just about saving our democracy. This is not just about saving our humanity. This is about saving the only planet we call home. And it has to be the craziest thing in the world that the U.S. government actually subsidizes its own self-destruction. How stupid is that? We continue to give taxpayer dollars to the fossil fuel companies that are killing our planet. $1 trillion a year to our military industrial complex, which is the number one contributor to carbon emissions in the world. And we give it $1 trillion a year. So as you know, Washington, it's not broken. It is operating by design. It has been designed for destruction. It has been designed for us to scratch, claw, fight, and kill each other because of our racial, ethnic, gender, and sexuality differences. But the new American Revolution includes every single one of us. Not just the one-tenth of 1%, not just property-owning white men. It's about everyone.
Sharon Levine, who is the executive director of Rise St. James and a Goldman Environmental Prize winner.
I am here today to demand that President Biden end the era of fossil fuels once and for all. In my community, we are surrounded by toxic fossil fuels that pollute our air and water. Fossil fuels are destroying the place I call home. For too long, industry has gotten away with sacrificing my community. We say no more. Fossil fuels are taking the lives of people living in Cancer Alley. These are my family and my friends. Formosa Plastics planned to build a big plastic plant in my community, but we rose up and defeated it. And we'll keep rising up like we are doing today because our lives depend on it. And you know what? With the stroke of a pen, President Biden can stop fossil fuel. He can do it now. We are asking President Biden to stop all fossil fuels. And if you don't, it's a death sentence for communities, especially in Cancer Alley in Louisiana. We can't wait any longer. We are in a climate emergency. This summer was the hottest yet, and right now we are in the middle of hurricane season. The storms are getting bigger, and fossil fuels are making it worse. President Biden talks a lot about environmental justice and the climate crisis, but action speaks louder than words. Every new lease every new plastic plant, every day that he refuses to end fossil fuels, President Biden is continuing to poison my family and my community. The time for President Biden is to act now. We demand that he stop all new fossil fuels approvals, phase out existing fossil fuels, and declare a climate emergency. President Biden, our lives depend on your actions today. If you don't stop fossil fuels, our blood is on your hands. Thank you.
Next, we have the Honorable Mary Robinson. She is the Chair of the Elders, the former President of Ireland, and the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights.
I am here as Chair of the Elders, but I'm also here as a grandmother, an angry granny, because we are subsidizing what is destroying us. We are in need of a very rapid movement out, phasing out with just transition, phasing out of coal, oil, and gas, and in my own country, Ireland, peat, turf. We need to do it with just transition for the workers who built up our economies. We mustn't forget that. But what we need to do is understand that there is a lot of money supporting denying the science or messing up with the science and also prolonging the life of fossil fuel. And this money, about $4 billion a year, is stopping us from understanding fully how serious the situation is. And I like to say we're actually on the cusp of a clean energy, healthier, fairer, safer world for all. We're moving in that direction, but we're not moving fast enough. It doesn't seem too difficult to move faster, but we need leaders to take seriously that we are in a crisis. And when you're in a crisis, you have to be in crisis mode to deal with it. Our house is burning, as Greta Thunberg has said. So the elders strongly support phasing out fossil fuel and incentivizing clean energy, which the Inflation Reduction Act is doing. We strongly support opening up the multilateral banks. And the multilateral banks, the World Bank, the IMF, and the other banks, to provide much more money for developing countries to get clean energy. As I said, the elders are very involved in intergenerational dialogue. I'm very much involved in dialogue with Vanessa Nakate, my friend here, who'll be speaking to you, and many other young climate activists. You are giving me hope, because you are on the right track. And we need to have leaders understand, get out of fossil fuel now. It is harming us. It is not right for our world. We are out of balance with nature. We're in a climate and nature crisis, and we have to move much more rapidly. The stock take that was done of what the governments are doing, their nationally determined contributions, show the governments, are not, all governments, are not doing enough. But those most responsible are not doing nearly enough. And that is the United States, the European Union, but also countries, big emitters like Russia, China, India, the Saudi Arabia, etc. So, yes, this march is particularly focusing on what's happening here in the United States, but it's a global problem. I'm delighted to be here on behalf of the elders. We are in total solidarity with you. You give me hope, because you are right, and leaders need to listen to you now. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Susan Sarandon, actress, mother, and activist. Susan, off to you.
The U.S. is number one as the largest oil and gas producer. We heard Obama brag about this, actually, about how much oil and gas he was producing, and accounts for one-third of all planned oil and gas expansions for the next few decades. Just this last year alone, President Biden has approved mega-polluting projects like Willow and the Mountain Valley Pipeline. I'm sure you all know about this. even though there were very, very strong demonstrations and letters, and I've signed a bunch of them and everything, they went right ahead and did it, okay? He went right ahead and did it. This particular grouping today is about trying to put pressure on him, because the good news is he could sign an executive order and change everything. Now, maybe we stand a bit of a better chance because it's an election year is coming up and he hasn't really fulfilled his promises from the last time not to expand any gas and oil. So what we're asking for is to stop all federal approvals for new fossil fuel projects. Yeah, I wish I could do. Now! Yeah, now, okay. Phase out production of fossil fuels on federal public lands and waters. That seems obvious, right? I mean, please. Declare a climate emergency and to halt oil exports and investments in fossil fuel projects abroad, as well as lead a just transition to clean community-centered energy at home. And it would also seem to make sense, since almost all of our aggressions worldwide are about oil. And the war itself is like one of the biggest polluters that you could possibly imagine. So if we could end our dependence on fossil fuel, obviously we would not feel the urge to completely invade so many countries that we have invaded, right?
So I'm Peter Kalmus. I'm a NASA climate scientist speaking on my own behalf. We are currently on a pathway to lose basically everything. The cause of this heat nightmare that we're in right now is fossil fuels. And our leaders around the world, including President Biden, are still expanding fossil fuels, approving Mountain Valley Pipeline, approving the Willow Project, expanding drilling on federal lands. It is a form of insanity. It's taking us deeper and deeper into irreversible planetary emergency. This is not something that we can just reverse. It's not like cleaning up garbage in the park. However hot it gets, that's how hot it's going to stay for generations. I don't know why I need to stand here and say this. I am a scientist. The scientists of the world have spoken. We have to stop expanding fossil fuels and ramp down fossil fuels as quickly as we can. It could not be more clear. I've got two kids in high school. I am terrified for their future. I'm terrified for my own future right now. Things are burning and flooding, and the smoke is getting worse. The heat waves are getting worse. Will we be able to have food for 8 billion people? When will we see heat waves that have millions of deaths over the course of a few days? Because you have to understand, too, that every single year this gets worse. Every little bit of fossil fuel we burn makes the planet a little hotter and makes all of these impacts get worse. We are so clearly in a climate emergency. Why won't President Biden declare it? I feel so gaslit that it's insane. It's so obvious. My kids know what's happening. 12-year-olds know what's happening. Elementary school kids know what's happening. And this is a task of cosmic importance, in my opinion. This is the only planet in the universe that we know that has life. And we are on the brink of a sixth mass extinction. We are on the brink of losing absolutely everything. There is no politics on a dead planet. There's no economy on a dead planet. There is no democracy on a dead planet. And it is so insane that the people in charge can't see this. There is no way to escape this. We have to turn the tide away from fossil fuels. Forget direct air capture. Forget planting trees. Forget carbon offsets. Forget all of that bull. There's not going to be a technological solution. The cause is fossil fuels. We have to end fossil fuels. Currently, the White House has no plan for ending fossil fuels. They're still expanding it. They're still subsidizing it. That means they have no plan for dealing with the decreasing habitability of our planet due to global heating. So we will rise up and fight. We have no choice. The people in power are failing us. We have to come together and fight. That's the only way, and that's what we're going to do.
Climate activist and scientist Peter Kalmus of NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, though he was speaking for himself at Sunday's press conference before the March to End Fossil Fuels in New York City. When we come back, we hear from Ugandan climate activist Vanessa Nakate and Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and more. Stay with us.